Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Monday afternoon in St. Louis. Not a gorgeous day, right?
Never take off your coat.
Joe Cocker doesn't think so. At least we roll into the second hour. We got Sue's news coming up here in just a couple of minutes. We had a big news conference from the St. Louis Cardinals today. We ran over that with Scotty Warman in the last hour. You can always use the Odyssey rewind function to go back and listen to those hot takes we have coming up here. We're going to talk about a little presidential polling after Sue's news with Robert Kuttner, who is with the American Prospect. Before Sue's news, I hope everyone had a good weekend. I did make it out to Evolution Festival yesterday. Didn't go out on Saturday. We had tickets for both days, but just sort of decided just with the weather and the mud. And then Becky and Alexa went out yesterday and bought these boots at Walmart or whatever, just so you can, you know, romp around in the mud. And it was muddy. I came all prepared. I brought two pairs of shoes. I left a clean pair in the car with a garbage bag.
Oh, smart.
And,
that's,
you know,
good.
Yeah, but then I didn't get too dirty. But I think Saturday was probably pretty nasty out there. But here's what I would say. I didn't get out there in early fashion as much as I wanted to yesterday because I'd like to have seen Todd Rundgren. But I saw the end of Tom Morello, and I didn't hear him get too political, which was good. He was trying to get the crowd going. I saw Elle King. She had a fantastic
set.
You kind of feel bad, though. Like, so the way they do these music festivals, for people who don't know, is they have multiple stages. So when Tom Morello is playing on one stage, right, when I got there, Elle King is kind of getting set up on the backstage. So he ends, then they get the Killers to be set up on that. Elle King plays her set. But everyone kind of goes down to see her, but then, let's face it, they're there to see the Killers.
Yeah.
So toward the end of her set,
they started wandering
off. Basically, be in the front row for Elle King.
That would be so disheartening, wouldn't it, if you were Elle?
I think it would
be. Yeah.
But the Killers had a big crowd, and this is, I'm going to use the word ballsy. Can I do that?
Yeah.
Just going to say.
I mean, that's the word.
I've always wanted bands, especially big established bands, to say, you know what? We're going to open up with our biggest hit. We're not going to save our biggest hit for the encore, for the last song in the set. F you, we're going to do that thing right away because that's how good we are. And that's exactly what Brandon Flowers and the Killers did last night.
That's
which
pretty
I thought
cool.
Was, yeah, so that was fun. It was a good show. It was a good crowd. I didn't stay to the very, very end. But overall, I think Evolution Festival went pretty well. I don't know if they have. Fred, have you seen any kind of crowd estimates or anything like that? I don't know where it's going to end up because, you know, I think that there were some issues with, you know, enough tickets being sold last year to have some questions about the overall success of the festival moving forward because there's a lot of demand for these things out there. But by the way, that's Mr. Brightside is the number one song. You know, they do that thing at Mizzou now, so you probably haven't been to one of the games or Fred. But during, this has become, I don't think it's just Mizzou. You know, during the break, one of the breaks for the timeouts in the game, everyone does Mr. Brightside, and the students yell and cheer and do this thing. And then at the end of it, they do a profane insult to the University of Kansas, which I think my alma mater should kind of let go on right now. And I was probably the person that hated KU the most during all those years. But at this point, really, does it matter? Probably should move on. But it was a great set by the Killers last night. I love Brandon Flowers. He's an outstanding entertainer. Let's do this here.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Well, I have discovered power washing. That's what I found out.
Did you say washing or washing?
I said washing.
Okay, because I heard could a little
word.
A little whir in there.
Washing.
Power being the key word.
Power is the key word. So here's what I thought, Mark. I went to my friend, the neighbor Jen, and I said, "Neighbor Jen, I've got some, you know, like my back fence. My neighbor has a white, one of those white plastic fences, and my side is just
green
got
and,
plant stuff on it." So I said, and she said, "Oh yeah, I got a real one. It's electric. It's not the crazy gas stuff."
That's okay.
Boogie woogie. So I could, you know, put on the appropriate nozzle. I took that out there today, and I blasted the crap out of that door, but also myself. I mean, the blowback from this is nuts.
But it's a glorious feeling, isn't it?
It is. Oh, you my know. Gosh, the feeling of getting it clean. So my hair is wet. I got, I've just looked disgusting, which is why my hair is this way today. But the satisfaction.
Oh, yeah. Lots of satisfaction.
Oh, yeah.
Look, I deprived myself of several things well into my adult years, and I have deep regret over them. And one of them is a power washer.
Yes.
Another is a leaf blower. I got one of those little those things to the pruner, tree pruner. Not quite the excitement level.
I know exactly
level,
what you're talking. We need one of those.
But not quite the excitement level you get with the leaf blower or the power
yeah.
washer. Because there's, you know, now I would just speak to the issue of toxic masculinity. I can't speak to what your enjoyment level was with that, but men love it.
Well, ladies do too. It's so satisfying.
We have a neighbor, Carter, who's 17 years old, who does power washing, you know.
Business?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he'll go around and, man, it makes a big difference.
It really does. I had to call my neighbor and say, if you see a bunch of water coming flying through the fence, it's just me power washing. And I disturbed yellow jackets, but they did not mess with me. I was shooting them.
So I'm a little overdue on the power washing, but here's what's amazing. So if you go out like to my backyard where my grill is and my patio and everything,
yeah.
before you get to the patio would be like a brick patio, but there's a level of concrete that's right there when you walk right out and the deck's above there. And if you take the power washer to just the concrete, you will see the amount of dirt and grime that you
yes.
clear off, which is kind of amazing when you think about it,
yes.
right?
Yes, it is amazing. But I'm going to go out. The thing is too tall for me. And every time I shoot up, here's a surprise. Water even more comes down. Therefore, I'm over it, and I've got to get a ladder. All right. On this day in history, 64 years ago, this cartoon premiered on ABC.
What happened?
Cartoon premiered on ABC.
Yeah, you might have to do it one more time. I don't know what I did there.
I don't know. 64 years ago, Fred. Oh, thank God.
You know what happened? There was just a little bit of a delay there. So that's what happened. So, sorry about that, Sue. I was very confused. I didn't know what was happening. But there's Fred.
Oh, my gosh. Did you watch The Flintstones, anybody?
Oh,
Fred?
All the time. I
loved
it.
Oh, my gosh. Mark?
Of course I did. It was in the top tier with Gilligan's Island
right.
and the Brady Bunch. And then this is another one of those shows that in the last year, I watched with my daughter, and she loved it.
Did she really?
But
oh, I kind of love that about
you know,
her.
What's funny about her, and I think all kids are like this, I don't think this is unique to my daughter, is I think back to the last year. This was a very interesting year from the age of 8.5 to now where she is 9.5. Because I was thinking about this the other day. In the last year, we've watched The Partridge Family,
yeah.
The Brady Bunch, and The Flintstones. Now, that was months ago. I almost feel like now, and she's only like 8 months older, she's beyond those shows already.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's the way that she accelerates and the kids accelerate. But anyway, yes, of course, I love The Flintstones.
Telling to the two of you, Gilligan's mm-hmm. Island fans,
maybe.
Say that it holds up.
Hey.
I'm just
yeah. I haven't tried that one with
nostalgia.
Her. I haven't
yeah,
tried Gilligan's
try
Island.
Try it. Give it a shot.
You just want to see it if it fails. That's your only motivation
yeah,
for that.
I gotta do. And 42 years ago today, in 1982, this show premiered on NBC. It ran for 11 seasons. Doesn't that make you happy?
Yeah. Good theme song, right?
It is. And by the way, this is not the beginning. There's like 40 seconds before this, because when I found it on YouTube to play it, I thought, what the heck is this? So it's about mid-song.
Huh.
Yeah, and they picked it up. Yep, Cheers ran for 11 seasons, and it premiered 42 years ago today.
So who does this is like a regular song,
yeah,
right? Whatever the Cheers theme was.
Yeah.
I don't know who it is. Do you know?
No, I saw it today and promptly forgot, so you can look it up. Hold
I'm
on,
look
I
it
guess
up.
I could. Yeah, you gotta get rid of that for this
Gary
next one.
Portnoy.
Okay, Gary Portnoy.
He was an American musician and singer-songwriter. He's best known for co-writing and performing the main theme song of the NBC sitcom Cheers, When Everybody or Where Everybody Knows Your Name. There you go. All right, sorry, I just wanted to get that Gary Portnoy issue answered there.
Thank you. Well, country music legend Kris Kristofferson passed away peacefully Saturday at his home in Hawaii. He was surrounded by family. He was 88. And Fred pulled some of this. He wrote this song, by the way. Kris Kristofferson wrote several good songs.
I missed this story of the weekend.
Yeah, he was here. Okay, I'm just going to give you some career highlights of Kris Kristofferson. He was a Rhodes Scholar. What?
Really?
Yeah, and he attended the University of Oxford. He was really good at boxing and rugby. He attained the rank of captain in the U.S. Army. He completed Ranger School. He was a helicopter pilot. I mean, Kris Kristofferson, that's fairly impressive.
You know, every time you do something like this, in particular on Sue's News, you have this breadth of achievements that people have.
Yes.
And then, like, I think to myself, when I die, when I finally kick it, he was an idiot who talked on the radio. That's the only thing people have to say. There's nothing else. There's no helicopter pilot or anything like that. Nothing.
Well, you know what? He did buy a wheelbarrow and call it a wheelbarrow.
I did do that. Yes. And a leaf blower and a pruner.
And a pruner. That's something. By the way, Kristofferson moved to Nashville in 65 and started sweeping the floors at Columbia Recording Studios. And he met June Carter, gave her a tape of him singing. She gives it to Johnny Cash, but he just put it with a bunch of others. And after not hearing anything for a couple weeks, Kristofferson landed a helicopter on the Cash's property to get his attention. And that's what launched his musical career.
I love that.
Isn't that interesting?
I'm a big, big fan of persistence when it comes to chasing down your dreams. And it sounds like he certainly had that. Don't give up.
Right?
I love it, love it, love it.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. Well, you know, Patrick Mahomes is 29, and he got called out earlier this year for having a dad bod. Well, turns out his dad bod is trainer approved. Mahomes, hard for me to say, has had the same trainer since he was 9. Okay, who has a trainer when they're 9? Anybody? Anyone?
No.
What is happening?
I guess if you're pointed toward, you know,
that
Division
sort of
I school for a scholarship, you would have that.
I guess so. But this guy says his name is Bobby Stroop, and he says, quote, I think an NFL quarterback should have at least 14% body fat. Now, it's not from an unhealthy standpoint, but from a force absorption standpoint. You have to be able to take contact. And that's why he thinks he's going to leave that little extra on him. He said, I don't need him to look like a model because the way he chooses to play requires a certain type of physicality, and that physicality needs more body fat. That's the core belief I have for him.
Boy, I think I could take a lot of impact.
Me too, Fred.
Yeah, no, you too.
By the way, the Chiefs winners again of a thriller yesterday, and they're 4-0. It's not perfect, but they're 4-0. And the Vikings are 4-0 right now. They beat the Packers. It was a good game, though.
Oh, that would be a good... I saw a guy walking down Kings Highway yesterday in a Packers shirt and a cheese head. I thought, all right, go for it.
I proved that.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Steelers lost. No one asked, but I'm telling you.
It's a close game, though. I watched that.
Uh-huh. DirecTV is buying up their biggest competitor. Fred found this story today. They're doing it in an interesting way. The satellite provider has agreed to a deal that would acquire Dish Network for $1 because they're taking on about $2 billion in Dish Network's debt, which shows you who was winning the wars on that. The merger would make DirecTV one of the largest pay TV providers in the U.S., but of course regulators have to say yes or no. I don't know if that's a thing of the future, though.
Well, I'd be very curious to see what they do here. And by the way, don't forget that Dish, I'm sure they have this too, but DirecTV has a streaming service, so you don't need a satellite. So they can, you know, DirecTV, you can buy that just like you can YouTube TV or Fubo or something like that. But,
oh, well, that's,
you know,
good to know.
But I wonder if they're being left behind. I'm telling you right now, I was poking around on the website yesterday. I still haven't figured out how to do it because they don't make these things easy. I'm about to cancel Fubo because the only reason I really had that was for the Cardinals games for Bally Sports Midwest. And I can't, God bless the Blues, but I can't fathom paying $80 a month. I paid $80, $90 a month to see the Cardinals suck. So I'm going to cancel Fubo and just go with YouTube TV. And the only thing that I won't have on that is Bally. And I'm just going to hope that it gets worked out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else you can do. Except, what do you have, Fred? Do you have all that? Do you have...
We have Dish,
have
right?
U-verse.
Or U-verse, okay.
Yeah, AT&T U-verse.
But that's okay. The same. That's with DirecTV, right?
Yeah.
Huh. And finally, at Sue's News, we have today's random fact. I did not know this, although I think I might have heard it a long time ago. Martha Stewart has been struck by lightning 3 times. Isn't that nuts?
It doesn't even make sense.
I know. But yeah, that's it. Random
fact.
Any
more details on that?
No, that's just okay. We could look that up if you really want to dig in.
I just don't even know that's possible, really. But apparently it is because it's a random fact, ladies and gentlemen. 4:23, we're coming back with more. Get into some of the polling nonsense out there next. Well, Frank Cusimano was over at the ballpark for the big news conference earlier today, and he'll have the very latest in his take. Mo is going to stay for a year. There is a succession plan with Chaim Bloom, who was hired last year, most recently from the Red Sox, and we'll have details with Frank coming up here a little after 4:45. Susan Crabtree from Real Clear Politics in the next hour, and we'll get into the opposition side of Amendment 2. That's the gaming constitutional amendment that'll be on the ballot. I think I heard today 36 days from the election. It is getting very, very close. And if you're paying attention, or even if you're not, you'll see the polling kind of vacillate in a variety of directions, depending on whether it's a state poll or a national poll. Sometimes if you're a candidate on the Democrat side, you feel pretty good. Sometimes on the Republican side, there is, as my next guest kind of referred to it, Robert Kuttner, as polling whiplash. And Robert's with us this afternoon to talk a little bit about this. He is the co-editor and the co-founder of the American Prospect and a professor at Brandeis University. Robert, how are you? Welcome to 97.1 FM Talk.
I'm good. How are you?
Good. But what to make of these polls? And you know, I was thinking of something as you were on hold here and as I'm about to start this particular segment, because you can't tell me that the effects of Helene are not going to have really an impact here in the next few weeks with polling. Not that that's the most important thing in Georgia and North Carolina, but this is going to present some challenges, isn't it?
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Yeah, I think the point here is that all polling is opinion journalism because pollsters make assumptions. And they make assumptions as to who's going to turn out. They subjectively correct for which people they reach on their telephone polls. And that accounts for why there's a disparity in different polls. So back to back, you'll get polls that show Trump up. You get polls that show Harris up. And if you follow these too closely, it can really make you crazy.
Yeah, because they don't seem to jive, right? You know,
no, that's right.
Right. So that's where it gets confusing. And now I'm in the camp. Now, you can kind of push back on this, but I'm always kind of in the camp that does believe that polling is not complete nonsense, that there's some polling out there that's relatively, you know, believable. There is a science to this. But then when you see this going in so many different directions, even someone like me who's paid attention to polls over the years has to say, wait a second, what's going on here?
Well, it's ballpark accurate, give or take 5 points. But that's, you know, in an election this close, that's just about useless. And
it is.
And the most important variable in an election like this is turnout. And the basic thing that the election is going to turn on is not swing voters. There just aren't that many swing voters left. It's going to depend on whether Trump has already maximized the potential MAGA base or whether there are more potential MAGA voters out there who haven't decided whether they're going to vote. And conversely, has Harris maximized the potential Democratic base? The reason the Democrats did a little bit better, just a tiny bit better than expected in 18, 20, and 22, is they did a little bit better on turnout. And Trump in 16 turned out a whole bunch of people who didn't usually turn out. And so that's what the polls can't tell you, because the polls don't have a clue who's going to turn out. And that's why it's all a matter of what assumptions they make, which is subjective. That's why you can't trust polls at this stage of the game. Let me respond to your question about Georgia and North Carolina. I mean, one factor here is whether the incumbent governors get credit for delivering relief or whether they get blame. And of course, you've got a Democratic governor in North Carolina, Roy Cooper. You've got a rather unpopular screwball Republican lieutenant governor who's the candidate for governor. The question is whether he's going to drag down Trump. And you've got a somewhat anti-Trump Republican governor in Georgia. So I have no idea what the net is, which way that cuts.
On the turnout question, I always like to use this, and this would be not only, and this will sound like it's the same thing, but let me do it anyway, Robert, because I, you know, make myself look like an idiot on a regular basis. It's not only who is going to turn out, but it's who's not going to turn out. Now, those might be the same things, but let me offer Wisconsin as a case in point, because I always point to this from 2016. I know that state very well. I lived there for almost 10 years. I'm looking currently at the polling from Wisconsin from 2016. Every one of the polls had Hillary Clinton winning by either 4 to 7 points, maybe even 9 yep. points. But here's what happened. About 250,000 people who voted for Barack Obama in 2012 did not turn out for Hillary Clinton. So the numbers were way off. Mitt Romney, Donald Trump didn't get many votes more than Mitt Romney. Only a few thousand, actually. So it wasn't the people who voted for Trump. It was the people who stayed home from Hillary. And that still has a major effect.
Oh, that's exactly right. And let's go back to that last week of the election, because that's the other variable here. There will always be a surprise in the last week or two of the election. It could be the Mideast war. It could be Ukraine. It could be anything. But what happened in the last week, you recall that FBI Director Comey decided that he was going to, without being asked, step forward and say that Hillary exercised terrible judgment, even though she wasn't quite criminally liable. And that cast new aspersions on the whole email scandal. And a lot of people kind of said, I don't like her. I'm going to stay home. So that kind of thing happening in the last week of the election will either affect turnout positively or negatively, and it could help either candidate. And given the way Trump is campaigning and given his, shall we say, spontaneity, you have no idea what he's going to do in the last week of the campaign, which might help his turnout, might hurt his turnout. And that's why this election, you should pardon the expression, is such a crapshoot. We just don't know, and pollsters don't have the wherewithal to tell us.
Yeah, and that's what makes it difficult. But I've always, you know, maybe this is talking out of both sides of my mouth, which a talk show host does from time to time. But, you know, you almost don't want to cover the polling, because that's what the media does. They just get into this polling game, and a brand new poll comes out. You even highlighted in your column, New York Times, Siena looks really good for Kamala Harris. Then you have people out there, a lot of listeners have shot back to me, Robert, over the years, stop talking about polling. Polling doesn't matter at all. Let's just talk about the issues. There might be something to that. But obviously, we kind of follow the horse race.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. Every election, every presidential election, there's a kind of a postmortem a week later, and the serious reporters kind of swear up and down the line that next time we're not going to cover this as a horse race.
Yeah.
And then next time they can't resist doing it.
It's exactly what happens. There's no doubt. But I also, now I don't know if you got into this in your column. The one question that comes up about polling now is just the methods that they use to get a hold of people. And I've probably had 4 or 5 text message polls in the last 5 days, and I haven't answered any of them. But we know that, you know, people aren't, well, they don't even have landlines. So we know that the methods have changed. And then that kind of raises questions about who those likely voters are. Who are the people that are taking time to answer the polls? Some people are just too busy. Yep. They don't want to mess with it.
Yeah, and good point, because that skews the sample, right? There's a bias in favor of people who take the time, and they're increasingly using cell phones. They've tracked down cell phone numbers. They call people's cell phones. But the people who have the time to talk to a pollster, are they typical? No, they're not typical. And that's why the pollsters try and make an adjustment for the fact that they're not typical. And that's where the whole thing becomes subjective. So, you know, I try like hell not to cover this as a horse race, because there's more important substance to cover.
Robert Kuttner, who is the co-founder and the co-editor of The American Prospect. This is probably an unfair question, but I'll ask it anyway. So then where does your gut check become on the electoral count for either one of these candidates?
Well, I think, and this is based on reporting, I think the potential upside for Harris to turn out more people, so-called low-information, low-propensity voters, because of the enthusiasm that she's demonstrated after Biden stepped aside, I think the potential upside is slightly better than the potential upside for Trump. But that doesn't tell you which one of them is going to maximize it. One other point, if we have another 30 seconds, Trump doesn't have the same kind of ground game that the Democrats do. Now, that may or may not matter, because he's got talk radio, he's got social media, he's got his own live events, and that animates his base. But he's outsourced his ground campaign to Elon Musk. That's just weird. And, you know, when his family took over the RNC, they shut down a lot of the local operations. So maybe Trump knows what he's doing. He certainly did in 2016. But I would think, other things being equal, you know, it's better to have actual people on the ground doing get out the vote, doing voter registration, than not having that.
No, I agree with you.
We'll have to see.
No, that is an undercurrent in this election, and it is one of my concerns as well, and it's legitimate. But Bob Kuttner, thank you so much. I appreciate coming on here this afternoon. Thank you.
My pleasure.
All right, we'll take care. We'll get into this issue with the Cardinals. Big news conference today. Not a whole lot changed. We'll find out what Frank Cusumano thought. He was there. Coming up next on 97.1 FM Talk. Big news conference over at Busch Stadium. One of the announcements, John Mozeliak, he's not going anywhere, at least for a year. Chaim Bloom, though, will kind of transition into his role.
I think this partnership and this relationship over the next 12 months, albeit might make a few of you unhappy, but I'm certainly willing to do the walk, because I feel like we're going to position ourselves really well. And ultimately, when you think about your own legacy and how you want to leave something, I'm certainly hopeful that it'll be left in a really solid place when I do step down next
year. That was interesting that he even mentioned his own legacy, because I think at this point it would not be rock solid despite some of the early successes. Frank Cusumano was over there this afternoon. He joins us right now. How are you? What was your take on all this, Frank?
Well, what you said, Mark, right off the bat, is that I don't know why he would subject himself to another year of this. It is so toxic. It is so negative. The approval rating is so low. If John Mozeliak would have called Bill DeWitt Jr. last night and said, you know what, I thought about this, I'm going to step down and I'm going to mention this at the press conference tomorrow, that I've had a great run, I've really enjoyed it. But for him to stay when really not many want him to stay, except maybe the DeWitts, I don't understand why he would subject himself to that. Now, with all of that said, 17 years in charge, one losing season, a World Series, the longest tenured executive in that position, with the exception of Brian Cash and all the baseball. Great resume. I just don't know why he would continue.
Yeah, it doesn't make complete sense to me either. But it was interesting. I don't know if you found it interesting that he mentioned his own legacy. And maybe that's the reason, because he knows that going out now would not leave him with the best legacy. I don't know. This was interesting from Mr. DeWitt earlier, too.
Yeah, we're working on our game plan. We're doing a lot of work looking at ways to improve and freshen up the game day experience for our fans. We'll see some new things next year in that regard.
So that was a question specifically on how to get the fans back in the seats next year, and he referred to the game day experience. Now, maybe that's the best you can do in that moment, because none of this is going to come easy, but look, that ain't going to solve it, is it?
No, and Bill DeWitt III is a really smart guy, smart businessman, trying to come up with revenue streams. He's got all these, you know, the cable TV, Cardinal contract issue, staring him at the face every day. But yeah, that's not the answer, fans. Fans, you know, it's look. Would you rather have a better game day experience? Sure, but you get fans, you get 3 million when you have electric players. And you know, Mark, this is not going to be, you know, let's have a really good off season and really put a lot of money into player development. We're going to be really good. No,
no,
because there's no scenario next year with a declining payroll where the Cardinals are as good as the Dodgers, the Padres, the Phillies, the Braves. This is a 3 or 4 year project.
So, I mean, obviously, I think they alluded to that today because nothing's going to come quickly. But did they get specifics at all? And I don't, you know, I didn't hear the whole thing on some of the players that might or might not be back next year. Was that not covered?
No, they didn't get that specific. But, you know, point blank, John Mozeliak, in a question that I'm not even sure was asked of him, but he kind of took the bull by the horn and said, our payroll will decrease. So they have a fund for player development and, you know, putting a lot of technology, hiring more people, and then they have a fund for signing players and the, you know, the major league payroll. And they're clearly going to, you know, take one and put it into the other.
Do you know Chaim Bloom at all? Do you have a relationship with him? Have you gotten to know him? Has anyone gotten to know him?
No, not at all. I will say he's engaging, really sharp, and what he did in Tampa with limited funds and all the winning they did down there, very, very impressive. Now, in Boston, they hate him, but that's because they said, you know, go trade Mookie Betts.
Yeah.
So,
well, right. And one of the first things he does is he trades Mookie Betts to the Dodgers, and that, you know, that hangs over the Red Sox for, well, to this day, probably.
Yeah, but that's like blaming Bing Devine for trading Steve Carlton when the owner told him to trade Steve Carlton.
I understand that. So this guy, yeah, the guy's got, you know, street cred, there's no doubt. And here's what he said earlier today.
Really a lot of different areas. That's what's exciting about this. There's so much opportunity for us to make positive change. I've heard over the course of the year really good ideas come from within our organization. You know, I've got some ideas from my own experiences. We're going to have new ideas come into the organization and really figure out in all areas how we can make this as good as it can be.
Frank, I addressed this with Scott Warman earlier, and, you know, you and I kind of referenced the Katie Wu column on Friday when we spoke, but that piece was rather devastating in the way that it sort of attacked the way that the Cardinals have staffed these positions in the minor leagues and in player development. I had no idea. And there were people that were even quoted anonymously in that piece to say, look, I didn't know it had gotten this bad, right?
Yeah, I don't understand, like, the rationale in that they're putting money into this and not into this. Are you telling me because you signed Nolan Arenado that you can't hire four hitting coaches at $75,000 a year? You know, throughout the organization, I don't get that. Really odd how they became that short staff or that undermanned.
Well, let's kind of shift gears just a little bit as we talk a little college football and pro football. Let's talk about the Chiefs because they're 4-0. It's not been easy, but look, they're 4-0, right? And that's not a bad start. You can certainly do a whole lot worse than that. Mizzou had the weekend off. They are, I think, 1-point underdogs to Texas A&M, who won in a squeaker against A&M. But, dude, how about that Alabama finish? I'm shamefully embarrassed to say I turned that game off. I thought it was a blowout that Georgia was going to get steamrolled. Ended up being one of the greatest college football finishes maybe ever.
Yeah. Oh, a couple things. First of all, on your Kansas City and Mizzou thing, you know what's really interesting? And I talked to Drink about this Friday night. He was in town recruiting. They are eerily similar. They're both 4-0, and half the fan base is really worried.
It's true.
I mean, we got to embrace 4-0, and the Chiefs are doing it in kind of a courageous way with their injuries. And, you know, they got Kelsey back playing well. I'm not concerned. I would not be shocked if at the deadline they picked up, you know, a wide receiver. They may have to address that position. Missouri is a 2-point underdog to Texas A&M, who didn't look that impressive against Arkansas. But back to the game of the year. I've seen three unbelievable games. It was the Vince Young, Matt Leinart game, Texas-USC, when I was really young, Oklahoma-Nebraska, Jerry Taggy, Jack Mildred. And then that game is like the third best game I ever saw. But Jalen Milroe looked like he was done after that magnificent first half. And for him to make that long throw to get the lead right back, that was as captivating as television can get.
I was so mad at myself when I saw the highlights. I could not believe, terrible of me, to give up on that particular game. Frank, have a great week. We'll talk on Friday.
Sounds good, sir.
All right,
take care.
Hour number three is coming up.
Run away, tearing up the track. Run away. Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, bedroom? Just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.